Hi, this is Sharon. I am bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, February 13th, 2019. We will begin today's reading on the front page with an article entitled Heartland Class Teaches English Workplace Skills. Students improve language and computer usage at Western Avenue. When English as a Second Language students in Yahara Gonzalez's Bridge to Workplace Technology class say something is hard, she understands. 2 years ago, she was a student. She tells them, things can be hard, but not impossible. You just have to open your mind and say, I can do this. Gonzalez said she hopes that when students look at her, they think, if you can do it, I can do it. Heartland Community College previously has offered the class at its main campus on Robb Road in Normal, but in January it added a class at the Western Avenue Community Center in Bloomington. Carrie Urquizo, Heartland's Director of Adult Education, said having the program at Western Avenue removes a barrier for students who find it difficult to get to the main campus. The class meets 3 times a week for 2 to 3 hours. It runs through the first week of June, but students can join at any time. The classes are tuition-free. State and federal grants fund the program. Those who are interested in Bridge to Workplace Technology or other adult education, such as high school equivalency classes, can call 309-268-8180. Gonzalez came from Nicaragua 4 years ago with a degree in psychology. She went through Heartland's Functional English and Academic English programs. She thought about becoming a physical therapist or even a mechanic. But once I started as a tutor, I found my passion, said Gonzalez. I want to help people to reach their dreams. Bridge to Workplace Technology is an entry-level class in which students are learning to improve their speaking, reading, and listening skills in English at the same time they learn to use computers. For some, it's the first time they have ever touched a computer, said Gonzalez. Urquizo said it is satisfying to see the confidence that they get from being able to master several technical skills. It's mind-blowing what they can accomplish in a short period of time. Although the course's name refers to the workplace and it includes soft skills like communication and time management, its benefits are not limited to the work environment. The skills are transferable to other parts of their lives, said Urquizo, such as being able to register their children for school online. Jeanette Kyota of Bloomington, who came to the United States from the Congo, wants to better understand and write English. She also wants to learn how to use a computer so she can keep in touch with her adults through email. Another student, Lucita Castaneda of Bloomington, said she likes the teamwork in the classes and how people help each other. My goal is to learn the language perfectly, said Castaneda, who is originally from Mexico. I want to be correct in the way I talk. Coyota is thankful for the class. Here in America, they give you opportunities to do what you want, she said. It is up to you if you want to learn. It is good for your future. Gonzalez said she tells her students every day when you open your eyes, don't just open your eyes, open your mind. At the beginning of each class, they spend a few minutes talking about themselves and what's going on in their lives. It helps them practice their communication skills and know each other better. Many come from difficult situations, said Gonzalez. Some work more than one job. She said one student works 4 jobs. The class offers flexibility and personal attention if a student misses a class because of a work commitment, doctor's appointment, or other conflict. I'm so glad that I'm here, said Gonzalez. I need them, and they need me. We're a team. Judge set to rule on Waylon's request. New trial sought in murder of father. After more than 27 years in prison, Donald Waylon will learn Wednesday if a new trial will be granted for him on murder charges in the death of his father. Judge Scott Drazewski set a 10 a.m. hearing to announce his ruling. Waylon is nearing the end of the 30 years he's required to serve of a 60-year sentence in the 1991 death of his father, William Waylon, who was stabbed more than 30 times and beaten with a pool cue before his body was found by an employee of the 20 Grand Tap, then a downtown Bloomington bar owned by the elder Waylon. In closing arguments on Tuesday, defense lawyer Elliot Slosser challenged each pillar of the state's evidence used to convict Waylon at a 1991 trial, starting with a bloody palm print allegedly left by the suspect on a piece of a pool cue found near the victim. The defense contends retired Illinois State Crime Lab worker John Durker was pressured by Bloomington police to produce an opinion on a partial palm print. Durker's statement to the jury in 1991 that no one other than Donald Waylon could have left the palm print was a key element of the state's case. Slosser argued that a hastily conducted investigation by former Bloomington Police Chief Randy McKinley, who was a crime scene technician at the time, and a Bloomington Police Department detective quickly put Donald Waylon at the top of the suspect list. Durker's initial opinion that the print was inconclusive as to whether it was the victim's changed after he was told Donald Waylon was a suspect, said Slosser. The incriminating conclusion has no scientific basis. In fact, said Slosser, one of Waylon's lawyers with the University of Chicago's Exoneration Project. The state will never be able to tell a jury that the print was left in blood, Slosser told the judge. The absence of Donald Waylon's DNA from evidence collected at the bloody scene of his father's death contradicts findings in most violent attacks, said Slosser, echoing testimony earlier Tuesday from a forensics expert. Tests on multiple items, including the knives used to kill Donald Waylon, excluded, I'm sorry, tests on multiple items, including the knives used to kill William Waylon, excluded Donald Waylon as the source of DNA profiles, according to Carl Reich, a forensic expert with Independent Forensics outside Chicago. The victim's DNA could not be excluded as the source of DNA on the knives, according to results performed by Orchard Cellmark for the state. The absence of Donald Waylon's DNA is unusual, given the violent nature of the encounter that led to the victim's death, said Reich. You absolutely expect the assailant left some part of himself behind, he said. The defense also took aim at the credibility of 1991 testimony from McKinley, who claimed at the time to be a certified fingerprint examiner. McKinley, who now serves as chief of police in St. Charles, Missouri, testified he believes the certification was provided by the state police. But Durker testified that no such certification is available for police departments. According to training records maintained by the State Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board, McKinley completed a basic fingerprint classification course in 1990 and a one-day course on fingerprint processing in 1993. McKinley also had the benefit of a script provided by former prosecutor Tina Griffith before the trial that told him how to testify about the palm print, said Slosser. It was that script that doomed my client's fate, said Slosser, adding that he has only seen such assistance provided to jailhouse informants before their trial appearances. The so-called script was never provided to the defense working on Whalen's trial, he said. In his closing arguments, Assistant State's Attorney David Rossi said the lengthy briefs filed by the Exoneration Project completely glossed over actual evidence at the trial. The lack of DNA is unimportant, said Rossi, because the victim likely was hit from behind by his son, leaving the younger Whalen without injuries from his father or a chance to leave behind DNA evidence. The prosecutor questioned whether any of the newly raised arguments by the defense amounted to new evidence, something the defense must prove to secure a new trial. Amazon, GMI, Rivian Investment. Rivian Automotive, which plans to build the nation's first electronic pickup trucks along with SUVs in Normal, is in talks about an investment from Amazon and General Motors that would value the company at between $1 billion and $2 billion, Reuters reported on Tuesday. The two companies may receive minority stakes in the Plymouth, Michigan-based startup in a deal that could be concluded and announced this month, Reuters reported, citing sources that ask not to be identified because the matter is confidential. The sources noted the talks may fail to reach a deal. Amazon, General Motors, and Rivian did not immediately respond to requests for comment from Reuters. Normal Mayor Chris Kuz and Mike O'Grady, interim CEO of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council, did not receive calls seeking comments Tuesday night. Rivian, which plans to hire as many as 1,000 employees to manufacture the electric adventure vehicles in the Twin Cities, unveiled a 5-passenger pickup truck, the RIT, and the RIS SUV in November at the Los Angeles Auto Show. The vehicles are due in showrooms in late 2020. We're launching Rivian with two vehicles that reimagine the pickup and SUV segments, Rivian founder and CEO R.J. Scaringe said in a statement at the time of the vehicle's unveiling. I started Rivian to deliver products that the world didn't already have, to redefine expectations through the application of technology and innovation. Starting with a clean sheet, we have spent years developing the technology to deliver the ideal vehicle for active customers. The pickup, starting at $61,500, is expected to travel between 250 and 400 miles on a single charge, depending on the model, and is expected to tow up to 5,000 kilograms or more than 11,000 pounds. The SUV, starting at around $70,000, can travel up to 400 miles on a single charge, said the company, and has a towing capacity of 3,500 kilograms. The base models of each vehicle will reach 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds, according to Rivian. Rivian, which received performance-based incentives from the state and local governments, paid $16 million for the former Mitsubishi Motors North America plant on Normal's west side in 2017. Town officials said in November that Rivian had already exceeded its benchmarks for a full property tax abatement at the plant for 2018, investing $10 million and employing 35 people. The plant had 60 workers at the time. Rivian had about 600 workers at the time across not only Normal, but also facilities near Detroit, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. The company was required to hire 500 locally and invest $40.5 million by the end of 2021 to receive hundreds of thousands in local tax breaks, plus a $1 million normal grant, and plans to hire 1,000 locally over a decade to receive about $50 million in state income tax credits. Kuz said in November the company may employ 500 when it reaches full production in 2020. It will never be as populated as the Mitsubishi plant, but it'll certainly be high production, said Kuz. Mitsubishi employed about 3,000 in Normal at its peak. The plant had 1,200 employees when it ceased production in November 2015. And here's today's Flick Fact. One of Bloomington's busiest stores this week is the Fannie Mae Chocolate Store at Eastland Mall, along with all the wine stores. Why is it that chocolates, especially when merged with wine, are so big at Valentine's time? And the answer? Says Fannie Mae's Elliot Callahan, both chocolate and wine have long been regarded as aphrodisiacs, so they make a natural pair for Valentine's Day. They are foods that deliver a unique pleasure and a sense of well-being for us. Along with Christmas, Valentine's Day is, by the way, our oldest observance to be celebrated, dating back to the 14th century Europe, some 400 years before America was even born. Today is Wednesday, February 13th, the 44th day of 2019. There are 321 days left in the year. Today's highlight: on February 13th, 2016, Justice Antonin Scalia, the influential conservative and most provocative member of the U.S. Supreme Court, was found dead at a private residence in the Big Bend area of West Texas. He was 79. On this date in 1633, Italian astronomer Galileo arrived in Rome for trial before the Inquisition, accused of defending Copernican theory that the Earth revolved around the Sun instead of the other way around. Galileo was found vehemently suspect of heresy and ended up being sentenced to a form of house arrest. And here's a thought for today from Russian-French author Anne Sophie Swetchin. The world has no sympathy with any but positive griefs. It will pity you for what you lose, but never for what you lack. How time flies. 100 years ago today, February 13th, 1919, three juveniles almost escaped the Pontiac Reformatory by allowing themselves to be boxed up and shipped to Chicago. But they were discovered at the express office when a clerk checked the condition of one of the crates, and the boys were returned to the reformatory. 75 years ago, February 13, 1944, the health department reports 22 cases of scarlet fever in Bloomington since January 1st. But city nurse Glendora Blakely says there's no cause for alarm. Only 7 cases are under quarantine. This is the lowest number of cases since 1930. 50 years ago, on February 13, 1969, an armed robber held up the Red Bird food liner on Main Street in Normal. He forced the assistant manager to clean out 2 cash drawers and to hand over the keys to the store. He fled, locking the doors from the outside, but left the key in the lock. And 25 years ago, on February 13, 1994, local businesses are turning to Heartland Community College for specialized employee training. Bundy Tubing on GE Road is the latest local company to partner with Heartland Community College. Others include Diamond Star Motors, the Eureka Company, and Caterpillar. Continuing with more local news, leaders say wage hike will hurt workers. McLean County business leaders are taking a different perspective against the state's proposed minimum wage hike. These politicians are saying they care about the people, but the amount of people who are going to be even more impoverished and lost through this, my gut tells me it'll be astounding, said Mark Largent, owner of six local Jimmy John's sandwich shops with about 150 employees. We're the ones taking care of our employees. You don't know their names. I do. I know their families. I know their struggles, he continued. The amount of people that I'm going to have to look in their eyes and say, I don't have it for you, that's heartbreaking. Springfield doesn't have to do that. We do. Largent said he'd need to make cuts if the House votes to increase Illinois minimum wage to a maximum of $15 by 2025, possibly this week. The Senate passed the proposed hike on Thursday. While Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker has said a minimum wage hike will help working families, Matt Dratt, Director of Resource Development and Community Management at Mid-Central Community Action in Bloomington, said it could have unintended consequences. There is no process for tiered transition of public benefits. You lose everything as soon as you start making more money, he said. We're very much in favor of people making a wage that will cause them to be a productive member of our community, but I'm not sure this is the best way. About 25 Twin City leaders, including Largent and Dratt, met Tuesday with State Senator Jason Barrickman and State Representative Dan Brady, both Bloomington Republicans, at the McLean County Chamber of Commerce to discuss the issue. Chamber representatives plan to go to the state capitol on Wednesday to register their opposition and share a survey of local small and medium-sized businesses about the impact of the proposed hikes. Of 510 respondents, 85 said their businesses would buckle under the strain and close, and others said they'll increase prices or automate operations. The stories that are out there are very, very concerning, said Brady. I can only tell you that my vote will be no in regards to the minimum wage, and 43 of my Republican colleagues will be the same. Barrickman encouraged those concerned about the proposal to pressure the House's Central Illinois Democrats to vote against the bill. He suggested that might push Democratic leadership to compromise on restrictions, including a different minimum wage for downstate and a slower rollout. This isn't a debate about whether to increase the minimum wage. It's the question of how, said Barrickman. This is a done deal? I don't accept that. The proposal already includes a lower wage for workers under 18 years old and tax credit for businesses with 50 employees or fewer, though John Walsh, the Chamber's manager of government and public affairs, noted the credits decrease as wage increases ramp up over the next few years. Barrickman said taxes could go up to fund wage increases for public services, including property taxes that power local school districts. He suggested increasing the minimum wage statewide could wipe away the benefits local schools got from a new K-12 funding formula that was passed in 2017. Attendees also were shown how to create witness slips on the General Assembly website to comment on the bill. Go to https://bit.ly/2DVO9DA. City Council okays Scott Health Grants. John M. Scott Health Trust grants totaled $307,065 for several healthcare organizations have been approved for 2019, the first year after the trust shifted away from funding direct aid to low-income individuals in need. The city last year restructured how it manages proceeds from the $11.5 million trust established by the late judge to help pay medical costs for people in financial need. Instead of serving such clients directly through the City of Bloomington Township office, the John M. Scott Health Resource Center now gives grants to healthcare agencies that serve such people in McLean County. The Bloomington City Council, acting as trustees of the trust, approved the grant awards Monday night. They are $104,571 for community health care clinics operations, $26,143 for its pharmacy, $95,857 for McLean County Center for Human Services Psychiatric Program, $17,429 for Center for Youth and Family Solutions Family Counseling Program, and $17,429 for its telephone psychiatric services for youths, $17,429 for Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center's Peace Meals, and $26,143 for the McLean County Health Department's Dental Clinic. The awards are made from net proceeds of the trust's investment. Last year's changes also included dissolving the money distribution relationship with the township and transitioning to using the trust as a grants-only program. The City Council will continue as trustees with final decision-making power. The city's Community Development Department has assumed administrative oversight and works with the 11-member advisory John M. Scott Healthcare Commission to develop processes for the new grant format. The commission established a grant application process and notified community agencies who are eligible to apply. The area calendar on Wednesday, that's today, is Teen Maker Wednesday from 4:30 to 6 at the Normal Public Library. This is for ages 12 to 18, and they're going to do mint tin LED flashlights. On Thursday, Lunch and Learn, 12:10 p.m., McLean County Museum of History. The topic, The Good Limb, The Bad Limb, and Recovery. What animal models tell us about improving behavioral recovery after a stroke? The speaker is Abigail Kerr, Assistant Professor of Psychology at Illinois Wesleyan University. How to Survive a Zombie Apocalypse is from 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday at the Normal Public Library for grades 6 through 12. Illinois State University Jazz Ensemble's 1 and 2 annual Valentine's Big Band Dance is from 7 to 10 Thursday at the New Lafayette Club, 1602 South Main Street, Bloomington. Admission is $15 per person at the door only. Nice attire, no jeans or t-shirts will be allowed. And pianist Jasmine Arakawa will perform at 8 p.m. Thursday at the Westbrook Auditorium, Pressure Hall, Illinois Wesleyan University, Bloomington, as the guest artist. We'll take a short break now and then return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Wednesday, February 13th, 2019. Please stay tuned.